not knowing the day or the time that we'll be called from this life, the following quote from Steve Jobs may help us to better prepare ourselves for our next in our eternal life. Remembering that I will be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all eternal expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. In our gospel today, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who am I for those people who come to listen to me, to touch me, to seek my help, to witness a miracle?" And their response was that he was someone special. But he was not Moses, not Elijah, and not the prophets. Jesus was much, much more. Jesus then turns to the disciples to find out who they say he is. And Peter understood the depth of that question and the depth of the truth that backed it. "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." So why was Peter able to see Jesus for who he truly was? Peter displayed the same tendencies each of us has displayed at various times in our lives: weakness of faith, rash self-confidence, and even denial. And the question Jesus asked his disciples more than 2,000 years ago is the same question he asks us every day, countless times, and in countless ways. So who do we say Jesus is? You see, every choice we make, to love or to hate, to give or to withhold, is a response to that question. And as we listen carefully to that question, can we hear the same voice that spoke to those fishermen all those centuries ago? Can we hear Jesus challenging us, questioning us, inviting us, and calling us? So Jesus is curious about our response to that question. He wants us to desire him. He wants the best for us in our pain, in our loneliness, in our ill health, in our aging. And he wants us to be just as curious about him as he is about each one of us. And he wants to fill that open space within each of our hearts where we really need him to be, so we can truly understand his death and his resurrection. And just as with Peter, our response to this divine question does not come from earthly needs or from our place in this world. Our response flows from our humility and from the grace he offers us through his mercy and through his forgiveness. Answering this question is also a sign of our maturity in our faith. See, we can't have others answer that question for us. We have to decide, we have to say it, we have to claim it, and we have to live who Jesus truly is. And like Peter, we are followers of Jesus. And like Peter, sometimes we have deep faith, and at other times we lack that depth of faith. But Jesus saw in Peter the same thing that he sees in each one of us: building material that can be shaped into a people of faith, to know, to love, and to serve him. "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus gave Peter a special mission. He was a living stone who put out the nets to catch fish after a fishless night. He was the first one to tell Christ he didn't know what he was getting into by inviting him to follow him. Yet he did, and he became that rock which Christ used to build his church. You know, Peter almost seems too human, too much like us. But it's interesting to watch the way Christ dealt with him, how patient Jesus was with him, and how he helped him to grow into the man who was ready to lay down his life for him, and who eventually did. But Peter's growth was a gradual one, with several regressions along the way. And that really shouldn't surprise any of us here today, because this is exactly how we grow in our faith. The rock in Peter's life is the one thing that never changed. He knew Christ, he believed in him, and he loved him. And it was only when Peter regained his faith and proved his love that he was put into charge of the flock. As Jesus was turning over his community, his church, to one of us, to Peter, he didn't turn it over to the high priest of a temple, to the scholar of a Torah, or to a rabbi. He picked a fisherman, someone who will deny him, who will challenge him, and will run and hide from him. But he also chose a man of conviction, one who wasn't afraid to step out of that boat and attempt to walk on water, someone who was eager to build tents during the transfiguration on that mountain, and a person of action. Jesus chose someone who embodies the strengths and the weaknesses of each one of us here. And Christ does the same thing with us he did with Peter. He calls him because he sees potential in us and he believes in us. He doesn't deny that we are sinners, but he challenges us to reach out and to move forward. Jesus involves us in his work because he wants us to have responsibility to help us grow. And just as with Peter, Jesus asks us to declare our loyalty to him. Jesus forces each one of us to investigate our own heart and to stand on our own 2 feet to grow in faith. So as we can see throughout the life of the apostles, Peter's story is our story. Sometimes we are strong, and sometimes we are like a reed shaking in the wind. But we should not be afraid to look at ourselves and to see if we are growing as Christians, to see if we are becoming more attached to Christ. Without a warm relation with Christ, just as Peter had, we are only on the fringes of Christianity. So let's ask ourselves today, who is Christ for each of us? And if our response lacks any of the elements of Peter's response, maybe it's time for us to take a close look, to examine ourselves, and to deepen our faith. You know, in our world today, there are many opinions of who Jesus is and who Jesus was back then. But our gospel reminds us that the most important opinion of all is our opinion. If we want to walk along the right way, really know the truth, and have life to the full, then we need to know, love, and serve Jesus. But it has to be the real Jesus, not the Jesus of our own creation. It has to be the Jesus that we meet in the Gospels and who is proclaimed to us by the Catholic Church. See, Peter was chosen to be the rock upon which Jesus could build his church. And the example Peter set for us can be best expressed in the words of Cardinal Newman. To live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often. So this coming week, let's stop for a moment each morning. Let's close our eyes, visualize Jesus standing in front of each of us and asking us, who do you say that I am? Then let our response each day be reflected in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. That God does not call people to find their way to him alone. He calls us to become members of his community of disciples, members of his church. So will our answer to that all-important question come from us without hesitation? Or do we need to assess our lives to see if we are living it according to who Jesus truly is?